You'll need your Bibles this morning because we're going to be looking at several of the Gospels that contain that reference there. Let's begin in Luke chapter 12 in our ongoing study of the Gospel of Luke. In our focus study through the Gospel of Luke, Don Johnson has been laying out the material for our classes, and then I each week go to that same material and those verses and have something that hopefully will not be an exact duplicate of what our teachers are doing in the classes. This morning, Don has entitled a section that we're looking at in our Sunday school classes, Dealing with Hypocrisy. And it begins in chapter 11, verse 37, and goes all the way through chapter 12, verse 12. And so I suspect in most of your classes you're going to be looking at hypocrisy and what Jesus has to say about that. But contained in this section of Scripture is that passage dealing with the sin of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. That's probably one of the more disturbing verses that you'll find anywhere in the Bible. We also see the parallel passage in other Gospels that occurs here in Luke chapter 12 in verse 10. Everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But anyone who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. In Matthew's account, it's also in chapter 12. It's here in Luke 12. It's also in Matthew 12. In Matthew 12, 31 and 32, it goes like this. And so I tell you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come. And then in Mark's gospel, his is not in chapter 12, his is in chapter 3. It occurs early in that gospel. In Mark chapter 3, verses 28 and 29, Jesus says there, I tell you the truth, all the sins and blasphemies of men will be forgiven them. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. He is guilty of an eternal sin. Frightening verses. On Sunday night, we have been going through our study of the Holy Spirit of God. And so I thought it would be appropriate this morning to not skip over this verse here in our Luke study, but to tie it in with what we have learned thus far on Sunday nights about the Holy Spirit of God. And throughout my years of ministry, I've spoken with any number of Christians who have been deeply troubled, and not only troubled, but fearful that perhaps accidentally, perhaps inadvertently or ignorantly, they had somehow blasphemed against the Holy Spirit of God, and in doing so were forever damned. That they had committed the unpardonable sin, the sin that cannot ever be forgiven. You may have wondered about this, and you may have been fearful that maybe you were guilty of, in some way, blaspheming against the Spirit. Hopefully, by the end of this lesson, we will be crystal clear on what that sin is and what it means to blaspheme against the Holy Spirit of God. I think you'll find comfort in our study this morning on this passage. I want to look more closely at those three accounts. It occurs in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And in those accounts, we tend to forget the opening words with which Jesus introduces this fearful statement about blaspheming against the Spirit. In Matthew chapter 12, 31 and 32, Jesus begins with this phrase, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men. Now just take note of that. Every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men. Mark, in his account, Mark chapter 3, verse 28, Jesus begins with the same assurance. All the sins and blasphemies of men will be forgiven them. And in Luke's account, where we are today, Luke chapter 12, verse 10, Jesus begins with this statement, "Everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven." Now, Jesus here, before he addresses the sin of the against the Holy Spirit, says, first of all, in all three Gospels, all your sins are forgivable. All blasphemies are forgivable. And that's borne out throughout Scripture. There is no sin that we ever read of anywhere else in Scripture that is not forgivable. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, the passage that Don shared with us before we took the Lord's Supper this morning, says clearly, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Paul was a blasphemer. Paul wrote to young Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:13, and he said, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, I obtained mercy. I can't think of a single sin that is committed in mankind that we don't read about somewhere in Scripture, that sin having been forgiven. Is it adultery? Is it murder? Well, David committed both those sins and was forgiven. Is it blasphemy? Peter blasphemed and he was forgiven. Is it lying? Jacob was a chronic liar and yet God forgave him. Yet in spite of all these affirmations that forgiveness is possible for every single sin that man can commit, Jesus still says, what seems to be a contradictory statement, the sin against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. Now, how do we make sense of this? Every sin, every blasphemy will be forgiven, can be forgiven. Yet, the sin of blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. Well, we've looked at the roles of the Holy Spirit on Sunday nights. And we've seen the amazing, vast quantity of work that the Holy Spirit has done from creation all the way down to our present day. And we saw how the Holy Spirit worked in bringing order in creation and the Holy Spirit's role and through inspiration of the writers giving the words of God to us today in the Word. We've seen how the Holy Spirit guarantees our salvation. We are given the gift of the Holy Spirit the day we are baptized, and that is our down payment on our future inheritance. We see that the Holy Spirit is an advocate for us in our prayer life, and He brings to God words that we cannot clearly articulate. And so many other areas that we've talked about on Sunday nights and the role of the Holy Spirit. But there is another crucial role of the Spirit that we need to recognize, especially as we look at this difficult passage. In John chapter 16, verses 7 and 8, Jesus there is talking to His followers about how He needs to go away. Because only when He goes away can He then send the Holy Spirit. He calls Him the Counselor. And He talks about the role that the Holy Spirit will have in all of the world. The role He will have in our lives. Listen to this passage, John 16, 7 and 8. Jesus says, "But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. And when He comes, He will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment." One of the primary roles of the Holy Spirit of God is to convict us of our sins. Jesus said, unless I go, I can't send Him to carry out this vital role in salvation. God has created us. Jesus has paid the price, and now it's the Holy Spirit's turn to convict us of our sins. Do you still remember those days before you were baptized into Christ? I do. I remember recognizing that I was a sinner. I remember having fear that I might die before I responded in faith to Jesus. And I didn't want to die unprepared. I can still remember the flood of relief that I felt at my baptism, knowing that all my sins were washed away. Let me tell you, that guilt and that fear, that was the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Jesus sent him to convict the world of sin. Do you ever experience guilt when you say things or do things that you know are wrong? Does your conscience ever bother you today? That is the convicting power of the Holy Spirit in your life. No, God the Father is seen in Scripture primarily in the Old Testament as the Creator and as the one who reveals His nature and His power and His strength and His compassion and His faithfulness. In all the ways we see God working with Israel, He's revealed in that way. Jesus is seen primarily in Scripture as our Redeemer. He's the one who came and paid the price so that our sins can be forgiven. And the Holy Spirit, among other things, is in these last days the convictor. He is the life giver, the finisher, the one who brings us, because of our hearts being touched, to the cross of Jesus Christ where our sins are cleansed. To blaspheme against the Holy Spirit is to say no to His conviction of our sin. Blaspheming means to respond irreverently to that which is holy and right. And I can raise my fist in the face of God, and when the Holy Spirit's power to convict me of my sin is there, and I say, I don't care what you say, I'm going to do exactly what I want to do, that is blaspheming against the Spirit of God. When the Holy Spirit convicts you of sin, you have one of two choices. You either acknowledge that you are a sinner and you repent of that sin, or you deny the sinfulness of your behavior and you begin to make excuses for doing that which is wrong. Now, if I go out on Friday night and I start running around and carousing and being sexually immoral, and I look forward every weekend to going out and having a good time, the Holy Spirit will work in my life to bring about conviction. And He does it in a variety of ways. He'll do it through a sermon. He'll do it through a verse in the Bible that I read or that someone mentions to me. He'll do it through the words of a concerned Christian friend. And He will try to bring about conviction in my heart. And I don't know anyone who in the early days of their sinfulness did not feel guilty about the things that they were doing and did not know that these things were wrong. And the Holy Spirit works powerfully in our lives to convict us of sin. But if I ignore it, and if I begin to make excuses, what that does in my heart is to build up a callus. I don't know if kids still run barefooted like we did when we were kids in the summer, but as soon as school was out, our shoes came off. And I remember running out on the street, and they would gravel the street there by our house. And the first time I ran across that gravel road in my bare feet, I was a tenderfoot, and it hurt. And we were out there just walking real carefully, and that gravel hurt our feet. By the end of summer, man, my feet were so tough, I could run down that road on that gravel, and it never even hurt at all, because I had calluses built up on my feet. And when we continue to sin against God and make excuses and deny the sinfulness of our behavior, calluses begin to build up in our hearts. The Holy Spirit, who has taken up residence in my body as a temple of the Holy Spirit, becomes grieved by such action, by such denial of the sinfulness that he's trying to convict me of. And when I continue day after day and month after month and year after year calling evil good and good evil, the calluses build until I have no feeling left at all. And the Holy Spirit will eventually be quenched in my life. I'll become just like those religious leaders who ended up stoning Stephen, the first Christian martyr. Stephen looked at those men who were so blinded by hatred and by their arrogance, and he said to them, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you." That is blaspheming against the Holy Spirit of God. Paul spoke of those who would fall into this same category of resisting the Holy Spirit in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, and he called them hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. No, the unpardonable sin is not one specific, extra, terrible sin that God just won't forgive you of. There's no such sin like that. He's not talking about one specific area that you struggle with, maybe for your whole life, some thorn in the flesh you have in a sinful area. He's not talking about some sin that's just so bad he can't forgive you of it. It is any sin. Any sin that a person refuses to give up. That's the blasphemy against the Spirit. Any sin that a person refuses to acknowledge as sin and confess as sin. Any sin that a person becomes so callous about that they no longer even ask God's forgiveness for. Any sin that the person eventually becomes so hardened in that behavior that they don't even want to hear anybody speak against it. And if someone does speak against it, they become furious that you're calling that behavior sinful because they no longer regard it as sinful. That's what I want to do. That's the path I've chosen. And I don't want to hear what God says. I don't want to hear what Christians say. I don't want to hear what anyone who condemns my sin has to say, and I will not hear it. A person like that is out of touch with the only thing that can save them, the convicting power of the Holy Spirit to make a person acknowledge their sin. Let me tell you, the best friend you have in this world is God's Holy Spirit. He is the one who keeps you on the straight and narrow. He is the one who keeps you from going over the edge on this side or on that side. He is the one who keeps you from ruining your life and destroying your relationships. Listen to his promptings when he convicts you of sin. Agree with him. Don't deny your sinfulness. Agree with him. "I am a sinner. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." And then repent and ask for his power to live on a higher plane, to make better choices, to be more holy. And when you do that, we have the promise of God. I don't care what your sin is. What Jesus said is true. Any sin, any blasphemy can be forgiven. God is faithful and just. He will forgive you of all sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I'm grateful for the power of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. And I'm grateful and believe that this group assembled, you wouldn't be here if you were in rebellion and calloused and cold and hard against the Holy Spirit's work in your life. The fact that you are still serving him and worshiping him is evidence of that. This morning, though, if the Spirit of God convicts you of sin and you need the prayers of your brothers and sisters, we'll pray for you. If you've never taken that initial step, I still remember clearly the day I was baptized into Christ and the wonderful relief that I had knowing that I was cleansed and that I belonged to Him. If you've never taken that step, we would encourage you to do that this morning as well. If you need to come, won't you come while we stand and sing?